T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Tuesday afternoon. Chad Hartman with you here on the home of the Twins, WCCO. Certainly, we spent an hour yesterday with someone who I've mentioned before is a friend of mine. So I want to acknowledge that again. Jay Ettinger. Jay, part owner of the Poorhouse. He has owned a number of businesses downtown. He's been involved in a lot of causes downtown. And Jay, yesterday, during our 1 o'clock hour, you can podcast that, WCCOradio.com/Chad was very pointed. We just played comments from Jay right before we begin this conversation with Steve Fletcher. Steve Fletcher is a member of the city council, including parts of downtown. And Jay, you just heard, was very pointed in his criticisms towards Steve Fletcher. Steve was kind enough to reach out yesterday during the conversation and has made himself available and truly has accommodated his schedule to come on today. So I appreciate that. Steve, when you hear Jay's comments and is saying that you believe that you know better for the city of Minneapolis than the police chief, Madere Arredondo, who's been a part of the city of Minneapolis police for 30 years. How do you react to that specific comment?
So, listen, I have a lot of respect for Chief Arredondo, and I value his judgment on a lot of things, and he and I collaborate on a lot of things. But it's also my job. I was elected to look at our city budget and to make judgments about a lot of things that as a representative of the people, there's a reason that we want civilian oversight of police, but not just police. I mean, we vote on the public works budget, and I'm not a traffic engineer. And by the way, they think they need a whole bunch more people too. And I vote on the CPED budget, and I'm not a city planner. And they think they need a lot more people too. And so there's a part of the job of city council is to look at budget requests with a little bit of skepticism, to say, is this really the right approach? Is this really going to have the impact that is represented by these dollars? And, you know, to think critically on behalf of the people that we represent.
You also, and we played this quote just before you came on, before traffic and weather, when you were talking about the narrative in Minneapolis about violence, and in your view, as we played the soundbite, it's actually going the other way. Your quote was that crime is trending down and Minneapolis is getting safer and safer. Nationwide, we do have a lot of numbers which show crime is going down. We have numbers in parts of Minneapolis where crime is going down. But I just look at numbers from about a month ago from the city of Minneapolis, not just me, from the city of Minneapolis, which showed that crime, violent crime, from 2017 to 18 fell 27%. That's excellent. But that this year, and this is as of a month ago, that violent crime in downtown Minneapolis is up 22%. Isn't that just factual data about the crime being up in downtown?
Sure. And I think one of the things that you got to think about is, are we thinking short term? Are we thinking about the long view? Are we thinking, you know, in terms of a programmatic policy? Because it's very easy to get caught up in short term changes and read that as a trend. And I think that that's sometimes a mistake. So, the same CCO article where I'm quoted from pointed out that 2017 was a 30-year low. So we've been trending down. We've been trending towards safety in downtown. And there's been a bit of a turn the wrong way this summer compared to last summer. And so if you just look at last summer, which was the 30-year low, compared to this summer, you will find that statistic. It's a true statistic.
But
it's also true that in general, over the last 5 years, crime is trending slightly down. It's basically flat. You've got to correct for noise in data a little bit. We're policymakers. We have to think long term.
So let me separate from Jay, because Jay's not the only business owner spoken about this.
Sure.
Here's from WCCO TV. Tim Mahoney, the loon, part owner of the loon. All of a sudden, it's 12:30. They're like, you know what? We don't want to be a part of the shenanigans down here. We're going home, talking about some of his customers. More from Tim. We're tired of violence down here. We're tired of people getting beat up. We're tired of people being robbed. We're tired of people being shot. We're tired of it. Kristen Hicks is the bar manager of the 508 Bar and Restaurant. Downtown is getting a little bit crazy. There's lots of violence down here. One of my security guards was actually shot. So this is separate from Jay. Business yep. owners who see it every day. I know Dermot Colley, the owner of O'Donovan's, which is right around the corner also, feels the same way. Are these folks distorting the truth, or are they reflecting what they're seeing on a daily basis?
Oh, I don't think they're distorting the truth, and I think that there is reason to be frustrated. I'm not, by talking about trends, by talking about statistics, I'm not minimizing what people are feeling and seeing, and I'm not saying that the level that we're at is okay. I want to see crime go down. We all want to see crime go down. What I don't want to do is say, this is the worst I've ever seen it, because anybody who's been spending time downtown for the last 25 years would tell you that that's not true. And so the question is, you know, what do we do about what's happening this summer? And what you learn when you really dig into this is that there are different solutions for different problems that come up. It's not just one thing called crime that becomes a very easy thing to solve by hiring more police, and then we've solved it.
Okay, so I know you believe in the root cause, and I want to get to that in a second, because that absolutely does matter. Steve Fletcher is our guest, member of the city council, reacting to our conversation with Jay Ettinger yesterday, and reacting to the numbers on crime in downtown Minneapolis over this year and previous years. If we are going to react to specifically what is happening this summer, what would you do?
So one of the things that we are doing is we've invested in an Office of Violence Prevention that is working to intervene in cycles of retaliation. Most of the stuff that's happened downtown is social activity that didn't initiate downtown, and it's people who know each other and who are in relationship with each other. And if we can disrupt those cycles through outreach, through social work, through finding people alternatives to being part of those cycles of violence, it's way better if they never come downtown with a gun in the first place. And so that's what we're really trying to achieve.
Isn't that more of the root cause, right? And those matters, they are a huge part of this. There is no doubt. And I do not want to downplay those. But I'm now trying to look more specifically at what is taking place now in downtown? And in, I've heard this from multiple business owners suggesting, and Jay did yesterday, he's not the only one who's told me this, that they believe from conversations they have with police in Minneapolis because of other a period of years of what has happened, both viewed positively and negatively towards the Minneapolis police, that they feel like they're somewhat restricted in what they can do in trying to stop the violence before it happens. Do you think that argument has any merit?
I don't. I mean, look, I think that if somebody thinks that the way to create safety is to criminalize doing nothing wrong on the street and just being, then yeah, we're constraining people. But honestly, you know, we want to see people breaking up fights. We want to see our officers engaged in downtown safety. And I think when people see that not happening, I'm not convinced that their hands are tied the way they're sometimes telling people that they are.
When I mentioned you were coming on, I had a couple people reach out to me, and they were aware that you were at an event in the last year or so. You can provide me the specifics.
Sure.
At an event in Philadelphia, where you spoke passionately about the police and racism. Can you expand on that a little bit just so I can understand what you said and so it's not taken out of context?
So I went to Philadelphia with Inspector Frizzell and with Shane Zahn from DID and with several of the people who've been part of our sort of nightlife collaboration group. So, Joanne Kaufman from the Warehouse District Business Association and Joan Vorderbruggen from Hennepin Theater Trust. And we had a really constructive conversation, I thought, about the things that we were doing in terms of downtown nightlife and the things that we were doing collaboratively together. We actually presented on a panel about you know, a lot of the things that we were doing collaboratively. So I'm not sure what the exact comments are. That,
well, I heard from a couple people, and that's why I want to hear from you, that sure, you talked about the police and parts of it regarding institutionalized racism. Did that come up at all?
That sounds like something I would say, sure.
Okay. Can you expand on that a little bit?
I don't remember the exact context, but it is true that one of the challenges that we have is, you know, in an environment of institutionalized racism, it is not evenly distributed who is in a position of desperation, right? And so when we, for example, the controversial thing that the mayor did, you know, around marijuana stings, I totally supported him in that because I think the disproportionate likelihood that someone who is living in abject poverty and is going to end up out on a corner trying to sell a small amount of weed is, you know, frankly, pretty clear. And is that the officer's fault? No, not necessarily. But if the effect that we're having with our policing, by policing low-level offenses, nonviolent offenses, mm-hmm. is to put an awful lot of African Americans in jail and to continue the cycle of giving people records that then make it harder for them to find work and find places to live, then we're creating a much longer term problem for ourselves, even if we're making ourselves making some business owners feel a little bit better in the very, very short term.
So let me ask you this, because we've had a lot of studies over the years on profiling. On racial profiling. And there has been some startling data at times. When you look at the city of Minneapolis on the police department side, do you think they have a problem with racial profiling within the department?
I think that the numbers suggest that it's something that we need to look into. And it's something that the community has been raising around the question of, you know, why are we producing the kind of racially disparate results that we are? It is not a particularly black or white trait, for example, to speed. But if you look at who gets pulled over for speeding, or to have a taillight out, but if you look at who gets pulled over for having a taillight out and then who gets their car searched when they get pulled over for having a taillight out, I do think that some of those things are concerning. And I'd like to see a study of it because there is this very tough to separate thing between, you know, there's the personal bias of police, which may or may not be a factor, and we need to study it. I need to know more.
It does sound to me like you believe in it, but you just want the stats to back it up. Is that too far?
I would be surprised if we found zero bias, but I also want to acknowledge that they're operating in the context of a society that creates a lot of institutional inputs that, you know, that impacts who they're talking to. So I do think that there are practices that we probably need to change.
Where do you stand, sir, on the cameras that are now in downtown Minneapolis? They were enhanced dramatically when the Super Bowl was in play. Do you think that's a good addition, or do you think that's going too far?
I think it's a good addition. And the thing that I raised questions about at the time, because I was on record as having some concerns about it, was about who would have access to the footage and how long was it going to be stored? And were we going to use facial recognition along with it? Because that actually really changes the impact on people's civil liberties.
And have those issues been resolved?
They have for now. So we only store the footage for 14 days.
Okay.
And so it's really only used unless somebody flags it for an investigation. And we don't currently use facial recognition software, except in a few cases where we have footage of someone committing a crime, we'll use Hennepin County's facial recognition system. And so we're not keeping a record of where everybody goes downtown. We're not violating people's rights, but having those cameras has been useful to really understand what's happening.
So last thing here, and I'll let you go, and I really appreciate your time. Steve Fletcher from the City Council with us. Mayor Fry and the chief have talked at different times about numbers. Chief Arredondo's talked about 400 more officers over a 6-7 year period of time. Mayor Fry's talked about a smaller number. Do you believe that we need more police officers ASAP for the safety of downtown Minneapolis, or is that an exaggeration?
So I am not convinced right now that we have a plan for what we would do with more officers that would make people safer. So I think
the police chief saying he wants more?
He is, absolutely. And I need to see what he wants to do with them. Because a lot of times when we're talking about policing the way that we currently do it, it's not actually producing the results that we want. Policing is a reactive force, right? If we could hire psychic police, I'm going to steal a line from a council member in Durham who I heard say this, who I think is really smart. I think if we could hire people who could predict where crime was and stop it before it happened, then great. But we can't. It's going to be reactive.
But, and sir, if it's up 22% in downtown Minneapolis, don't we have an idea where it's taking place?
Sure. Absolutely. And then, you know, the other set of questions that we're going to have to answer is, does our Federation contract even allow us to assign the resources in the places that we would want it?
Steve, I appreciate your time, and I thank you for accommodating your schedule. We'll reach out again.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.